Welcome to Breaking It Down with D'Anthony, with your host, Devin Anthony. Welcome to the latest edition of Breaking It Down with D'Anthony, last podcast of 2020, and man, what a year it's been, not only just in general, but for sports as well. You know, we still had the Super Bowl in February before COVID hit here in America. You know, everyone coming together in the sports world, mourning the loss of Kobe Bryant, you know, end of January. You know, you have the NBA bubble. You know, you have the NFL season still able to happen. A little bit of complications there in terms of teams having COVID, especially teams like the Ravens. But, you know, games postponed. But, you know, the sports world, they figured it out through a very tough pandemic for the most part. Everything's been figured out. And the sports world has definitely come together more than it possibly ever has in the last couple of years. You know, we're still able to see most of our favorite teams, you know, NFL, NBA, MLB, soccer, NHL even had a bubble. You know, they were able to crown the champion when the Tampa Bay Lightning, NBA crowned their champion this year, the Lakers, and MLB crowned their champion as well with the Dodgers. So I'd say, you know, as many obstacles as there was this year in 2020, for the most part, the sports world figured it out. And that was really cool to see. You know, even when everything got shut down for a couple of months, there wasn't really any sports going on. ESPN still released The Last Dance, still something to talk about. It was a great documentary, brought the basketball world together, you know, kind of connected the older generation with the newer generation that's trying to learn more about Michael Jordan, how great he really was. So, you know, I think it was still a pretty good year for sports, you know, with all of the complications that there were. But let's look at what's been happening recently in the sports world, specifically. So the NBA season's back up. You know, the bubble was over, I think mid-October, and now we're back 2 months later. Not even. So, you know, it's pretty brutal for teams like the Heat, the Lakers, and even the Celtics and Nuggets, who were in the Western Conference, Eastern Conference Finals. Pretty short turnaround, the shortest offseason in NBA history. You know, so it's really brutal for, you know, as I said, for the Lakers and the Heat. But they're not slowing down, you know. The Lakers still look decent through the first four or five games. They definitely improved over the offseason. I'll talk about that a little bit more in a little bit. But, you know, you got to bring it up. The Clippers losing by 51. I mean, that's just unacceptable, you know. The Mavericks just came out and, you know, did what they had to do, made a statement after losing to the Lakers on Christmas Day. Just put the Clippers asleep. Granted, Kawhi didn't play that game, out due to injury. Nothing too severe there, but still, I mean, to lose by 51, that's just an embarrassment. But the Clippers, and you know, they came out well. You know, they blew that 3-1 lead against the Nuggets in the Western Conference semifinals last season during the playoffs. But they came out two big wins, first over Lakers on opening night, and then over Denver on the road on Christmas Day. You know, the Warriors, on the other hand, very slow start. They lost opening night to the Nets, led by 22 points from KD. Great to see him back. You know, I've never been a huge KD fan myself, but there's no denying his greatness. And for him to be, you know, struggling with that severe injury, I think either his ACL or Achilles, you know, out all of last season, signed with the Nets during last offseason, but never played a game for them last season, you know, was battling that injury. You know, throughout the playoffs for the Warriors this season prior, came back that, I think that was game five, you know, came out, was looking great for the first two quarters, and then, you know, re-aggravated it and went down even worse. But as a basketball fan, just in general, it's good to see KD back and performing at a high level. He's been playing well with Kyrie, who was able to drop 26 points in opening night against the Warriors. And then, on the Christmas Day, the Warriors lost by 39 to the Bucks. Another blowout there. And in both losses, the Warriors, they just shot poorly from the three, and they're just lacking an overall defensive effort. But they definitely turned around with the win against the Bulls. Stephen Curry had 36 points, and the team shot 40%. And the win against the Pistons followed with Curry leading with 31 points, and the Warriors shooting 50% from the field. So, you know, this isn't going to be a consistent Warriors team this season, I don't think. You know, they're without Klay. He was injured again during the offseason in a workout. You know, they're definitely going to miss him this season just because of how much of an offensive threat. I mean, even he's a pretty good defender as well. He's just a leader in that court in general that they're really going to miss this season, and we're counting on to have back. You know, Draymond's been out for these first couple of games, but he should be coming back in the next couple of weeks and should help on both sides of the court. And Andrew Wiggins, you know, didn't play great in those first two or three games, but he's finally got it going, you know, put up 27 points against the Pistons after shooting poorly in those first three games of the season. But they're really, the Warriors are really going to need Wiggins to step up because, you know, Curry, as great as he is, you know, dropping 31 points and 36 points in back-to-back games, you know, as great as he is, he needs some help. He's always needed help in his career. You know, he's not like a dominant 6'8", 6'9", LeBron, 250. Like, he's, you know, he's a built point guard. He can shoot the ball well. He's a natural scorer. Sees the game well, passes well. Is a pretty decent defender. But he needs help, you know. He won the rings he did because he was great as well. But, you know, even that first ring they won against the Cavs, it was a great defensive effort from Andre Iguodala, who ended up winning Finals MVP because he locked down LeBron. You know, Steph has always had Klay, you know, his other splash brother, who's always, you know, who you can count on to put up at least 20 points a night. You know, then he had KD for a couple of years, and who brought him two rings, you know, two Finals MVPs for KD. You know, even they had Boogie Cousins for that one season. I mean, that didn't turn out great, but still, that's an all-star. Draymond Green's been great. He's been in a couple of all-star games. So, you know, this is definitely the most depleted team. I think the most depleted Warriors team Curry's had since 2015 or 2014. But I think they're a playoff team. I think they're probably in 8, 7, 6 seed if Draymond can actually make an impact on that team. But, we haven't seen Draymond in a while, and we're not sure what he can actually bring to that team. So it's going to take, you know, players like Wiggins to step up, players like their center, the rookie center James Wiseman to step up. He's been pretty good in his first couple games, but they're definitely going to need him to keep that up. Now, I was talking a little bit earlier about, you know, how great KD and Kyrie look in those first couple games, but, you know, just in general, the Nets look like a very balanced team. And to have players like, you know, LeVert, DeAndre Jordan, Jared Allen to support KD and Kyrie, you know, who've both put up at least 20 in all games they played so far this season. I mean, it's just huge for that team. I think they'll be a for sure favorite in the East if they can stay healthy. But, you know, I think Philly has a decent team this year as well. And even, I mean, not a great start for the Wizards, you know, 0-4 start. But I think even the Wizards could be a threat if they can figure out how to support, you know, the overall team support for Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook, who are both putting up really good numbers. But that's just not a great balanced team like, you know, for say the Nets or the Lakers have. You know, the Bucks also look strong. They're usually right there in the playoffs with their reigning MVP, Giannis, and Chris, even Chris Middleton. He's averaged 27 in the first four games. And Jrue Holiday was a huge offseason pickup for the Bucks. He's been huge for them. And I think he definitely improves that team significantly on both sides of the ball. And I also think, you know, Giannis, Chris Middleton, Jrue Holiday, you know, it's a pretty balanced team as well. I think they'll definitely be a threat in the playoffs. Should make it to the Eastern Conference Finals if the Celtics and Nets, if one of them don't. You know, I don't think the Magic have started off really well, but I don't think they're a legitimate playoff contender. You know, the Hawks definitely have improved a lot during the offseason, but again, I think they're probably like 5 or 6 seed and don't make it past the second round of the playoffs. But Trae Young, you have to talk about him. He's been outstanding thus far, and you know, averaging 34 points in the first three games. And honestly, if he continues playing that level, you know, with a much better Hawks team who's added likes of, you know, Gallinari, Rondo, Bogdanovich from the Kings, Clint Capella, I think Trae Young could possibly make a legitimate case for himself to be an MVP contender. You know, I just said the Celtics, I think, you know, could be a legitimate Eastern Conference final contender. Again, you know, they were right there last year against the Heat. You know, we're there again. You know, they didn't make the Eastern Conference Finals when Toronto won it, but the year before when LeBron knocked them off in that Game 7. But, you know, that Celtics duo of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they've just been great thus far to open the season, and both are putting up over 20 points consistently. You know, what else could you ask from them? That's pretty good if you're a Celtics fan. You know, Kemba Walker, their star point guard, he probably won't return for several weeks due to injury, but I think the Celtics team who came up, you know, they came up against a very hot Miami team. Like, you saw how great that balance was between younger players and veterans. You know, even gave some Lakers problems, took them to 6 games in the finals. You know, I thought if you know, if Tatum could have led that team better in the Eastern Conference Finals, if there was just a better effort on both sides of the ball for the Celtics, they probably could have won that series. But, and you know, just to come up against that very hot Miami team, you know, that was a really hard team to beat. But, you know, I think we could see the Celtics back in the Eastern Conference Finals and maybe even to the finals. You know, the addition of Tristan Thompson and Jeff Teague in the offseason should definitely improve this team. You know, just good veterans in the league. That should definitely improve the team in the long run. And if Marcus Smart can continue to be a leader on defense, you know, especially with the absence of Kemba Walker. I mean, and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, if they still are effective on offense throughout the year, I think Boston should be very successful. You know, the Eastern Conference finally looks strong again, you know, after multiple years of seeming like it was the much easier and weaker conference. You know, the Western Conference is, of course, strong again this year, and each team probably, you know, for the exception of OKC and Minnesota, I think have a legitimate chance to make the playoffs. But, you know, speaking of Western Conference, you got to talk about the Western Conference and finals champs, the Lakers. You know, they got their rings opening night, but came up against a very hot Paul George, who finished with 33 points, you know, basically couldn't miss in the second half. You know, the Lakers bounced back on Christmas Day with a big win over Dallas, in which LeBron at 22, AD with 28, Schroeder with 18, and Montrezl Harrell with 22. Four guys putting up those numbers. I mean, that's awesome. You know, you guys know I'm a Lakers fan. But, like, what else could you ask from those four players? You know, Montrez has been huge off the bench. Schroeder, he did come off the bench for OKC because Chris Paul started at point guard. You know, but with losing Rondo, you know, he had... And the Lakers, it was kind of weird last year. You know, we started Danny Green, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope in the starting five. So we never had a true starting point guard until, like, Caruso in game six of the finals. But I don't think Caruso, as great as he is defensively, I don't think he's a starting point guard. So to bring in Schroeder as a starting point guard is huge for them. And Trez just brings such great energy off the bench, aggression as well. And, of course, he's been scoring well as well. So, you know, that's exactly what he did for the Clippers. You know, I just don't think the chemistry was great there for him. And so, you know, he wanted to give himself kind of a new path at the Lakers. He was great last year. He was sixth man of the year, but just wasn't great in the bubble. Kind of struggled in his matchup against Nikola Jokic in the Western Conference semifinals. But, you know, I feel like the Lakers is a great fit for him. And that was a huge pickup for Pelinka to pull off during the offseason. And, you know, that wasn't Schroeder also, you know, great pickup. Pelinka was awesome this offseason. He's got, you know, got to give a lot of credit to him. Arguably one of the best GMs in the league. He also signed Marc Gasol, and although Gasol wasn't producing much in offense in the first two games, he was still grabbing a lot of rebounds and put up 12 points, 8 assists, and 7 rebounds in the Lakers' win against Minnesota. You know, this Lakers roster has definitely improved from last year, as there are probably, I mean, I would say 10 legitimate players in the rotation right now that are all greatly contributed. Even Talen Horton-Tucker put, you know, his second-year player for the Lakers. He put up huge numbers in the preseason for the Lakers, and he's also pretty strong off the bench and creates great chances for himself offensively. You know, I think there's no given team that I think will make it out of the Eastern Conference this year, just, you know, because you have the Nets, Celtics, Heat again, probably the Bucks. You know, the Hawks are a little bit of a long run, but I would say they'll probably be a 5 or 6 seed this year. But the Western Conference, you know, you got to say, you know, the Lakers are the powerhouse, but even the Clippers have looked pretty good so far to start off the season. The Warriors, slower start, but if they can figure out, they could be right there as well. You know, the Rockets, they were there for a couple years, you know, came up against a hot Warriors team a couple times in the Western Conference Finals. They have unfortunately been the first team to have players out due to COVID protocols this season. But their main problem is the drama surrounding their star player, James Harden. You know, there's so much in the news about different stories about him, you know, getting kind of the preferential treatment that everyone was talking about with Paul George and Kawhi in LA. And, you know, when you're one of the best players in the league, he won MVP a couple of years ago, you know, you can honestly do whatever you want. Like, if you're out partying, whatever, and you go up the next night and you're in Madison Square Garden, you know, you're out partying in New York, the next night you're in Madison Square Garden and you put up 50. You can't complain about that if you're the Rockets. Like, if you want to keep James Harden happy, because he is most definitely a top 3, top 5 player in the league, if you want to keep that man happy, like, you got to let him do what he's got to do. you know, I know not a lot of NBA players are like that. You know, a lot of them are, you know, more team-minded players. But James Harden is so instrumental for that team. You know, there's so much trade speculation, trade rumors surrounding him during this offseason. But I think the Rockets understand, like, they can't get rid of him. Like, first of all, if you're a team trading for Harden, you'd have to give up so much just because of his immense trade value. And, you know, he even still came out with all this drama. He came out in his first game this season, put up 44 against Portland. The Rockets still lost because, you know, McCollum matched him, put up 44. I think Damian Lillard had over 30 points. You know, and then James Harden puts up 34 against Denver. Also lost that game, but John Wall, Boogie Cousins, Eric Gordon, who are all starters, they've been out due to COVID protocols. You know, you have those guys come back, and I think the Rockets are a top four team in the Western Conference and are a legitimate threat to the Lakers. You know, if they can figure out all that drama surrounding Harden, you know, who I'm kind of comparing to him to, like, you know, he's kind of like the modern day Dennis Rodman, you know, kind of out and about doing what he wants and then still performing at a high level. Obviously, I think Harden just in general is a much better player than Dennis Rodman. For obvious reasons, just because of how much a better scorer he is. But even Dennis Rodman was very important for the Bulls because, you know, how great he was in defense and how great of a rebounder he was. So, you know, if Harden's out partying, you know, obviously it's a bigger deal during COVID because he's probably breaking a lot of COVID protocols. But, you know, he's doing what he has to do. He's still performing at a high level, and I don't know what else you can ask from a player. You know, there's reports saying that similar situations have occurred in previous seasons, which I'm not really surprised about. But, I mean, Harden was playing out of his mind, so, you know, no one had a problem with it. And not many people knew of it. Obviously, within the team, everyone knew of it. But if he's putting up the ridiculous numbers he is, and, you know, he's such a great scorer. He is one of the best players in the league. You know, if having the Rockets getting all their starters back, once all the COVID protocols are figured out there, I think they're a legitimate threat in the Western Conference. You know, if the Rockets can keep everyone happy. You know, COVID's been a problem for many leagues, not only across America, but around the world, but specifically the NFL, just because of the mass, you know, the mass roster sizes. You have 52 players plus, I don't know, like 30, 40 members on the staff, maybe even more. You know, maybe you're carrying 150, 200 guys when you're traveling an away game. Like, that's really hard to keep. You know, to not have anyone, it's impossible. Like, the NFL, they knew it was coming, but when you have that many people, like, there's going to be tons of COVID tracing. You know, if a quarterback's friend got COVID and they saw that friend a couple of days ago, like, that automatically becomes a problem, you know? And you have, you know, possibly 150, 200 people, you know, on an NFL team plus staff. It's really hard to control, but for the most part, I think the NFL's done a pretty decent job. You know, the NBA, no team, I don't think, will be hit too hard, like some NFL teams have, like the Ravens. You know, almost every team in the NFL has been affected at one point or the other this season. But NBA teams, you know, they do have much smaller rosters, about 12 guys, usually 15 guys this year, because, you know, just to give more leeway for if players are out due to COVID. But just because of that less amount of necessary staff in the NBA, I don't think COVID will be, as much of a problem for the league. And I think, you know, I think we'll definitely see multiple games get postponed just out of caution. You know, we've already seen the Thunder Rockets on night two of the opening season this year, but I don't think, you know, I just don't see many NBA teams getting hit too hard like the NFL has. You know, just in terms of injuries, there may be more because of the shortened off season, you know, shorter training camps, fewer preseason games, especially like the Lakers. Some Lakers players might get hit pretty hard by injury. I really hope not, because, you know, as long as that Lakers team stays healthy and we have everyone, I think we're definitely the best team in the NBA. But as soon as the Lakers lose someone like LeBron or AD, like, that team, you know, almost becomes depleted almost. So, you know, I think the NBA it'll still be a very exciting season. There are multiple very strong teams trying to make a run to dethrone the Lakers, and I'm really looking forward to see how it all ends up. So, you know, the NBA has transformed so much over the last couple of years, last couple of decades, and it's really interesting to see how, you know, there's no bubble anymore. You're definitely running more of a risk with COVID, but I think it'll still definitely be a very entertaining, exciting season. Although we're all watching it from our couches, it's still something to talk about. Something to watch with friends, and you know, who knows if anyone will dethrone the Lakers or the Lakers will be back-to-back champions. We'll just have to see. So I'm really excited to see how it all plays out. All right, moving on to the college football playoff. We got Notre Dame versus Alabama in the first game, and Clemson versus Ohio State in the second game. That'll be the Sugar Bowl. Bama versus Notre Dame is the Rose Bowl, although that will be played at AT&T Stadium. Alabama are 20-point favorites over Notre Dame, whose one loss was to Clemson by 24 points in the ACC Championship game. Notre Dame wasn't able to produce much in offense, and the defense didn't have a lot of answers for Lawrence and Etienne. But I think the outcome will be similar to that of the Clemson game for Notre Dame against Bama. Bama's a very strong defense and offense that hasn't put up less than 38 points in their 11 games this year. You know, that's insane. You know, it's kind of like a reflection of how dominant the LSU team was last year. And, you know, they have Heisman favorite. Matt Jones at quarterback, threw 32 touchdowns this year. Running back Najee Harris has been great for them, has run in for 24 touchdowns. And then wide receiver Devontae Smith, also a Heisman candidate. He's had over 1,500 receiving yards and 17 touchdowns to go along with that. And, you know, I think Bama should, honestly, I think they'll have a field day against a much weaker Notre Dame team. And I don't think Notre Dame has anywhere near the offensive power that Bama does. And I think Bama is just licking their chops looking at this matchup right now. You know, how couldn't they? They just seem like such a better team. Looking at the other matchup, Clemson versus Ohio State, I think that's definitely an interesting matchup. It came down to a missed throw leading to an interception from Justin Fields in the final minute of last year's matchup between the two teams in the College Football Playoff semifinal. But this year, both teams are still very strong, and although Dabo Swinney ranked Ohio State at 11 on his final coaches poll, he still came out to say that Ohio State definitely has the team to beat them, but ranked them that low because of the unfairness of only playing 6 games this season and still getting into the playoff. You know, that's 5 games less than the 3 other teams in the playoff, and definitely provides more of an advantage to Ohio State, you know, who aren't as fatigued as the other playoff teams and are healthier as well. But then at the end of the day, you know, as controversial as it may be, you know, many argue that, okay, it should have been A&M as, you know, over Ohio State or over Notre Dame in that playoff. Should have been, should have been Florida, Cincinnati, Oklahoma. At the end of the day, the College Football Playoff Committee is still going to try to put in the 4 best teams. And honestly, that's just what they did. Although I think the difference between Notre Dame and Alabama, just in terms of talent, I think the difference is pretty great. But I think Clemson, Ohio State, that'll be a good game. I think those are 2 pretty evenly matched teams, even though I think Clemson are 7.5-point favorites. That seems like a fair mark. I think this will be a 1-score game, unlike Bama and Notre Dame, which I think will probably be like a 3 or 4-score game just because of how dominant Bama has looked this year. Then that Clemson, Ohio State game, I think Clemson's still the favorite. Florence and Etienne both have a strong game. But I think it'll definitely be close, you know, especially if Justin Fields can keep his team in it. So Ohio State is definitely out for revenge from last year, but I think Clemson will be ready and should come out on top. A little bit more football. One of the last talking points today, we'll talk about the NFL. It's a very tight race in the AFC right now. The Browns, Dolphins, Colts, Titans, and Ravens are all 10-5, but one of those teams will not make the playoffs. The Titans should win against Houston. Same with the Colts against Jacksonville, and the Ravens should pull out a win against Cincinnati. But the Dolphins will take on a very hot Bills team on the road, led by the top-ranked fantasy quarterback and Josh Allen. So I think that's definitely a difficult game for Miami and the Browns as well. They're coming off a hard loss to the Jets. They are missing most of their receiving core that game due to COVID protocols. But a matchup against the Steelers on the final Sunday, that's not an easy one either. So, you know, in terms of the two teams that I think one of them not making the playoffs, I think it'll either be the Dolphins or the Browns, just because, you know, the Dolphins, I think how the tiebreak works, they're ahead of the Browns on the standing. So if both those teams lose, Cleveland, unfortunately, will not make the playoffs. You know, it was just a couple, like 2 weeks ago, where the Browns thought, you know, they honestly had a chance to win the division after the Steelers had lost 3 in a row. But, you know, they were able to turn it around, pulled out a win against the Colts. But, you know, it would really be a shame, you know, for how good the Browns have been this year, how much they've overcome, for how bad that franchise was just 3 or 4 years ago. You know, we're 0-16 that one season. So I think it'd be a great story if they were able to make the playoffs. But, you know, I think they honestly have the hardest matchup coming against this really strong Steelers team. You know, and also below the Dolphins on the standings due to the tiebreak. So unless if Jacksonville miraculously beats Indianapolis, I don't think the Browns, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Browns will pull off a win against the Steelers, but I think that's the team that honestly seems will not make the playoffs out of those five teams that are all 10-5. Kansas City, they've already clinched their first round bye at 14-1 going into the final week. The Bills currently hold the second seed and the Steelers hold the third seed. They both clinched as well. So, you know, this final Sunday will be very exciting for the AFC because there's just still so many possibilities. And even in the NFC as well, it should be an exciting finish as well. So, you know, you have the Giants, the Cowboys, Washington football team. They're all still fighting to win the NFC East. You know, the Eagles, who, you know, they've already been eliminated from the playoffs, but they've definitely been playing better with Jalen Hurts as starting quarterback over Carson Wentz. But if they can manage to beat Washington, who released their first-round draft pick from 2 years ago and Dwayne Haskins, you know, the Washington, they're currently, they're only hopeful that Alex Smith will play on Sunday. There's no guarantee. But if the Eagles do knock off Washington, then the winner of New York and Dallas will go through to the playoffs and win the NFC East. You know, the Giants have Daniel Jones back, but they have lost 3 games in a row, while the Cowboys, on their hand, have won 3 in a row. You know, Andy Dalton's been solid in those 3 games, and Ezekiel Elliott finally got it going on the ground again in Week 16 against Philly with 105 rushing yards. You know, and just with all the drama surrounding Washington, you know, releasing Haskins and how confident Dallas has been playing, you know, it almost seems like Dallas is the legitimate favorite to go through and win the NFC East and, you know, host that home game in the wild card, which will probably be against Tampa Bay, because Tampa Bay is going into this final Sunday with the 5 seed. The Packers will most likely end up getting the 1st seed in the first round bye in the NFC, and the Saints and Seahawks will most likely finish 2-3. So, you know, Green Bay have won 5 in a row and are rolling with confidence behind weekly stellar performances from MVP favorite Aaron Rodgers. You know, he's been connecting on all cylinders with his best wide receiver, Devontae Adams. You know, looking at the Saints, Alvin Kamara's coming off a record 6 touchdowns on Christmas Day against Minnesota. And with Drew Brees back and playing well, I think New Orleans are a very hard team to beat down the stretch. You know, the Seahawks have completely turned things around defensively these last couple weeks and have won the NFC West because of it. And the Bucs, you know, they won't get a home game in the wild card matchup, but they have clinched the playoffs going into final Sunday. And Tom Brady has been firing at all cylinders and is consistently connecting with the likes of Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Gronk, and even AB. You know, Ronald Jones will be completely healthy going into the playoffs, and Leonard Fournette has been solid as an RB2. So, Buccaneers, you know, although they probably won't host a home game in the playoffs, I think they'll definitely get past the first round, maybe even the second round. You know, if that team can remain solid and can remain healthy through this Sunday and the following week. So, you know, Brady's going to have to lead that team, though. He's going to have to step up. He has the weapons he needs for sure. The defense has been decent, definitely better than last season. But, you know, I think the Buccaneers definitely have a chance to get past the first round and probably past the second round as well. You know, the Rams, the Bears, and the Cardinals are the 6th, 7th, and 8th seed, meaning one team will not make the playoffs. The Rams will play the Cardinals on Sunday, but Jared Goff will be out due to a thumb injury, meaning John Wolford, who has never played an NFL game, he'll start for the Rams. You know, Cooper Kupp may also be out due to COVID protocols. So, you know, a decimated Rams offense going into this final Sunday. They only put up 9 points in Week 16 against Seattle. I think they'll probably struggle against the Cardinals and won't win that game. But if Arizona wins, but the Bears lose against Green Bay, which honestly seems like most likely just because of how great that Green Bay team has been, you know, winning 5 in a row, then if the Bears lose, then the Cardinals and the Rams will be in and Chicago will be out. You know, I predict this most likely to happen. You know, even the Bears have won 3 in a row. But I think this Green Bay team is just miles ahead of them and should win by a couple scores. I'm going to wrap up the show today with a little English Premier League recap. Manchester United, they've climbed to second place after last minute win against Wolves. Liverpool drew Newcastle. So Man United currently sit 3 points behind Liverpool, and we'll play Liverpool, I think, in mid-January. So that could be a huge game, especially because that game will be on the road at Anfield. Liverpool haven't lost a home game at Anfield, and haven't lost a Premier League home game at Anfield, I think, in 3 calendar years now, which is just amazing. But hopefully, you know, Man U can be that team to upset them, you know. And if they do, then they'll probably, you know, most likely they'll claim that first place spot in, on the table. You know, Arsenal, they're turning around. They won 3-1 against Chelsea and then 1-0 to Brighton, but are still sitting 13th in the table. You know, Chelsea, they haven't really lived up to their expectations this season, especially because how much money they spent during the offseason. I think over 200 million euros is at least. You know, they still sit 6th right now and would just need to make a small run to get into the top 2 or 3. Everton and Aston Villa have both been huge surprises so far this season, to be sitting at 4 and 5 through 15 games. Tottenham started off the season very well, but they haven't won in 4 games. You know, arguably they're playing too defensive and aren't looking for more chances up top, which ends up falling on to their manager Jose Mourinho's shoulders. You know, Leicester City, they've had some very exciting finishes this season. Jamie Vardy has been at the top of his game, as Leicester currently sit third in the Premier League. And Man City, they've recently had some positive COVID cases from the team, which saw their game against Everton being postponed. But Man City, they're sitting 8th right now, but they aren't too far off the top. So I mean, if they can make a push, they can end up being back in that top 4 as well. And even, you know, if they really start turning things around, you know, Man City and Liverpool are everyone's favorites to be 1 and 2 in the table. Definitely this year and the last couple years as well. So, you know, but if Manchester United can stay in their form, you know, Marcus Rashford's been playing well, Cavani's been playing well up top. You know, the defense has finally figured it out after a very shaky start. You know, lost 6-1 to Tottenham, I think that was the second or third game for United. But they definitely turned around defensively, figured that out back there. De Gea played a great game against Wolves, so. If Man United could stay in their form, I think they definitely have a legitimate chance to be a contender for this Premier League title this year. So that's all I got for you guys today. Happy New Year. Wishing much health, happiness this year. You know, it should be a great sports year. I'm really looking forward to it and everything that will come with that. A lot of new champions will be crowned, so I'm looking forward to that. But thank you guys for tuning in, and I'll see you soon.